You spend 3 weeks, meticulously crafting a design token system. You define the semantic variables. You build precise spacing scale. Set a perfect component variance.
Yeah, the whole nine yards.
Exactly. Then you hand a repository over to your AI coding agent and ask it to build a really simple settings page. And it just immediately grabs the brand's critical error red to color a primary accent button.
Oh, yeah. It is the classic failure mode. And it failed because, well, you gave it the hex codes, but you totally failed to give it the meaning.
Right. The values were sitting right there in a JSON file.
Yeah, but a JSON payload just tells a compiler what the color is. It does not tell a large language model, never use that specific red unless user data is being actively deleted.
So today we are taking a deep dive into this source material to dissect a massive gap in how you and your teams are building software in 2026. Because you have great specifications, you've got your architecture mapped out, but none of that matters if those decisions cannot actually reach the AI agent at runtime.
Yeah, we're talking about the missing delivery layer, and specifically how teams are finally fixing it without getting locked into a single vendor's ecosystem.
Because the industry spent, what, the last few years watching agents just guess visual intent from stray CSS comments.
I mean, we watched them blindly overwrite established architectural patterns on a daily basis, and they did this because they lacked persistent context. They were just operating in a vacuum.
Right. And that vacuum is now being filled by three specific open formats. So you have agents.md, skill.md, and design.md. And the underlying mechanism across all three is just plain markdown.
Which is fascinating because we went through this whole phase of trying to build highly complex API servers for agents, but markdown quietly won out. It is the common tongue now.
Why did it win, though? Just simplicity.
Well, it became the standard, mainly because of how large language models actually process information. Think about tokenization for a second. An LLM does not read a deeply nested JSON schema or a YAML tree the way a traditional software parser does.
Not a compiler.
Exactly. When you feed an agent a JSON file, it burns an enormous amount of its context window, just tracking brackets, commas, and arbitrary nesting limits.
I mean, it's kind of like handing someone a massive spreadsheet and asking them to read it like a novel. Sure, they can do it, but the cognitive load is entirely in the wrong place.
That's a great way to put it. Markdown just removes that friction completely because these models were trained on billions of lines of Markdown from GitHub repos, Reddit threads, you name it. They read it natively.
So a hash symbol for a heading instantly signals a hierarchical shift to the model.
Right. And a bulleted list is natively understood as a discrete set of items. The model needs literally zero extra instruction to parse the intent behind the formatting.
Okay, so before an agent can understand a complex design system or execute a specific workflow, it needs to understand the basic rules of the house. Because a year ago, we had a severe fragmentation problem with this.
Oh, it was a nightmare.
Like, if you used Cursor, you had to maintain a .cursor rules file. But then if your team switched to Claude Code, you had to manually rewrite all those instructions into a CLDGI.MD file.
Yeah, teams were managing four different proprietary context files, just hoping the agent would understand the project conventions. It was a catastrophic maintenance bottleneck.
You're just constantly duplicating instructions about your testing frameworks and your build commands.
Right. So AgentS.MD was created to stop that duplication. It functions as a universal context file. It's just plain markdown. There's no required schema, no proprietary tooling to install. Any agent that reads the root of the repo benefits from it immediately.
I look at this and I see the equivalent of hiring a brilliant senior contractor. You don't just point a contractor at a pile of raw materials and walk away. You've got to hand them the employee handbook.
Yes.
And AgentS.MD is the handbook. It explicitly dictates the build commands, the strict typing enforcements, the core architectural decisions.
And the adoption metrics completely back up that utility. I mean, as of mid-2026, agents.md is reported in over 60,000 open source repositories.
That's massive.
It is. But the critical detail is really the governance. The standard was moved to the Agentic AI Foundation, the AAIF.
Which sits under the Linux Foundation, right?
Exactly. The industry realized very quickly that a neutral, community-owned standard for project context was just mandatory. Without it, developers end up completely locked into whichever IDE happens to ship the best default AI that month.
Okay, wait, let me push back on the practicality of this for a second. We already struggle to get engineering teams to read or write standard documentation.
Fair point.
If we force developers to dump 500 lines of verbose, agent-specific prompt engineering into a repo, aren't we just destroying the readability of the project for actual human beings?
Well, that assumes teams are mixing human documentation with machine instructions, which they shouldn't be. The fundamental premise of the agents.md standard is the separation of concerns.
So they live side by side.
Right. The standard human readme stays completely clean. It just tells a human developer what the project is and how to install it. The agents.md file holds the highly deterministic instructions that an LLM needs to navigate the codebase without hallucinating incorrect dependencies.
But the fragmentation hasn't entirely disappeared, has it? Tools still look for their own specific files. So how do teams actually implement this without still maintaining those proprietary files?
So they use a really simple pointer system. You make agent.md the single canonical source of truth for the entire architecture.
Okay.
Then in the tool-specific files, like your claude.d.md or your .cursor rules, you just write a single line of text. You instruct that specific agent to read the agents.md file.
Oh, so you're just pointing it to the master file.
Exactly. You maintain the context in one place.
Right.
Every tool benefits. And if a specific tool falls out of favor, you lose zero context.
Okay, so agents.md sets the house rules. It tells the agent, you know, we use a specific testing framework and we enforce strict typing. But knowing the rules of a code base doesn't mean the agent actually knows how to execute a complex multi-step job within it.
Right.
We need a way to teach it workflows without cluttering up that main rules file.
And Anthropic actually addressed this in late 2025 when they pioneered the second standard, skill.md, or agent skills.
Okay.
If agents.md dictates what the project environment is, skill.md dictates how to perform a specific action. It packages capability so they can travel with the agent across entirely different projects.
But looking at the format specifications for skill.md, I mean, it seems almost dangerously simple. It's just a folder containing a markdown file. It requires exactly two YAML fields in the front matter, a name and a description. Below that, it is just a markdown body with instructions. There's no protocol negotiation. There are no runtime dependencies.
Well, the simplicity is the feature. You might have optional assets like bash scripts or reference templates living alongside that markdown file, but the core execution relies purely on plain text instructions.
I'm struggling to see why this requires a completely separate standard, though. We just established that agents.md is the rulebook.
Yeah.
Why can't I just put my workflow instructions in there? Aren't we just shuffling text files around different directories at this point?
Not quite. You have to draw a hard architectural line between project-scoped context and portable domain expertise.
What do you mean by portable domain expertise?
So agents.md is inherently tied to one specific repository, but a skill.md file is a repeatable, portable procedure. Think about a workflow for generating a database migration script or a strict company-wide commit message writer.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Right. You do not want to rewrite your database migration logic into the agents.md file of all 50 of your microservices. You write it once as a standalone skill, and the agent loads it on demand.
And that portability aspect is actually driving a totally new kind of market. The sources point to skills.sh by Vercel.
Oh, yes. Skills.sh is huge.
It operates as an open registry for these workflows. So developers can install a skill directly into their agents using a simple npx skills add command, targeting a GitHub repository.
Exactly.
So you can literally pull down workflows published by engineering teams at Stripe, Notion, Atlassian. The capability attaches to the agent itself, rather than living inside the code base.
And a marketplace like that only achieves scale if the barrier to entry is virtually non-existent. Because a skill is just a folder containing a markdown file, literally any developer can publish a new workflow in an afternoon.
All right, so we've covered back-end logic and project rules. But back-end workflows are highly logical and text-heavy by nature. The real friction point in autonomous coding is always the front-end.
It's the Wild West.
It really is.
Yeah.
You can give an agent perfect architectural rules and a massive library of skills. But the second you ask it to build a user interface, it falls apart. It hallucinates padding values. It tries to reverse engineer brand colors from random CSS classes it finds in the repo.
Yeah, front-end generation is the historical weak link for AI. And it's because large language models completely lack spatial reasoning.
They can't see it.
Right. When an agent looks at front-end code, it does not see a visual layout. It sees a string of mathematical and syntactical relationships. Without a dedicated standard that encodes visual identity, the agent is operating totally blind. It just defaults to its pre-trained bias of what a standard button or card should look like.
So how are teams actually bridging that visual gap now?
This is where Google Labs comes in. Mm. They introduced the third format, DesignN.MD, in March 2026.
They launched that alongside Google Stitch, right?
Yes, exactly. It takes a project's visual identity system and encodes it in a way that agents can natively read and apply when they are generating UI components.
But Design.MD is much more specialized than the other two formats. It relies on this really strict dual-layer structure. It combines machine-readable design tokens, which sit in a YAML front matter block, with human-readable rationale written in standard Markdown prose.
Right, so it gives the model the exact numeric values it needs, immediately followed by the logical reasoning behind how to actually use them.
So the YAML design tokens provide the raw paint. They give the model the exact hex codes and the specific pixel values. But the Markdown prose acts as the constraint.
The art instructor telling it what to do with the paint.
Exactly. Because a standard JSON file cannot express a semantic rule like only use the primary color for a destructive action. Design.MD pairs the numeric value directly with the behavioral constraint.
And the structure of the file is highly rigid to accommodate how the model parses information. The official specification dictates 8 distinct sections, and the LLM processes them sequentially from top to bottom.
Which begins with the overview.
Right. It begins with an overview. This establishes the brand personality and sets the system prompt baseline.
And then it moves into colors. And the naming conventions in that YAML block matter immensely here, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. If a developer fails to name their tokens semantically, using terms like primary, secondary, or neutral, the model will just abandon the system and fall back to guessing based on basic contrast rules.
Okay, so from colors, it moves to typography. And just telling an LLM to use a large font is entirely useless.
It needs the math.
Right. It requires the exact mathematical tokens for font size, line height, letter spacing, just to generate accurate CSS or Tailwind classes.
And after typography, the spec requires sections for layout and spacing scales, elevation and depth, shapes and components. But the final section is actually the most critical piece of the entire standard.
The do's and don'ts.
Yes, the do's and don'ts. Neural networks respond exceptionally well to explicit negative constraints. Telling a model what not to do carries massive weight in shaping the generated output.
So if you skip it,
if a developer omits the do's and don'ts section in a design.md file, the agent will inevitably take two perfectly valid design tokens and combine them in a completely invalid, horrible way.
Okay, but a standard is meaningless unless a team can actually enforce it.
True.
We are trusting plain text files to guide autonomous agents here.
Yeah.
Typographical errors in a YAML front matter block could cascade into thousands of lines of generated garbage across a front-end application. How do we ensure these files do not just break production pipelines?
Well, Google didn't just release the file format. They released the enforcement mechanism alongside it. So the at googledesign.md CLI tooling is the gatekeeper.
The CLI runs a linter, right?
Yeah, it includes a dedicated linter that runs 8 specific rules against the parsed file before the agent is ever even allowed to read it.
So it throws hard errors for broken token references.
Yeah.
Like if your Markdown prose references a color token that doesn't actually exist in the YAML block, the build just fails.
Exactly. And it also throws warnings for orphan tokens, so values that are defined in the YAML but never actually referenced or explained in the prose.
The contrast checking seems like the most powerful feature of the linter, though.
It really is.
It automatically cross-references component background and text color pairs against the WKDA accessibility minimums.
Right, the 4.5:1 ratio.
Yeah, so if your agent is operating off a design.md file where the primary button contrast falls below that ratio, the linter intercepts it and flags the error. The agent never even gets the chance to write the inaccessible code.
It catches it at the source.
So let me push back on the workflow integration here. Most enterprise teams already have complex build pipelines. They have Figma variables syncing directly to a JSON pipeline that feeds their React or Svelte applications.
Sure.
If they already have that infrastructure, asking a developer to also manually maintain a separate Markdown file of design rationale, doesn't that just seem like redundant busy work?
Well, it's only redundant if you fundamentally misunderstand the target audience of the file. Your existing JSON pipeline is built for your compiler. Design.md is built for your AI agent. The agent doesn't need a complex build pipeline to read plain Markdown from a root directory.
But the team still has to keep the JSON and the Markdown in sync. That sounds manual.
No, they don't do it manually. The CLI includes an export function. It converts the hybrid markdown file into standard Tailwind theme configurations or W3C DTCG tokens.json files.
Okay, so the W3C design token community group format.
Right, which is the emerging industry standard for JSON tokens. The CLI handles that synchronization for you. Furthermore, developers are actually using AI skills to analyze their existing code bases and extract a structured design.md file automatically. You don't even write it from scratch anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the library at designmd.app has over 400 documented files that teams can just pull down. So the markdown file really just supplements your existing tools like Figma. It acts as the translation layer for the AI.
I think it's important to contextualize the maturity of these standards, though. While design.md has massive traction, around 14,000 stars on GitHub? It is explicitly listed as being an alpha.
It is, yeah.
The format is volatile. Breaking changes are guaranteed. So relying on this for mission-critical production environments right now carries inherent architectural risk.
Look, every standard in the agentic space carries risk today. These are rapidly moving targets. But you have to consider the alternative.
Which is?
The alternative is reverting to unstructured prompt engineering, scattering your instructions across different chat interfaces, and just hoping the underlying model guesses your intent correctly.
Yeah, which brings us to connecting the entire stack we just walked through.
Yeah.
You have tokens, which give you the exact numeric values. You have machine-readable systems, which provide the semantic meaning. You have spec-driven development, which dictates the intent. These three plain text files, agentsup.md, skill.md, and design.md- serve as the crucial runtime delivery layer. They take all of those disconnected architectural decisions and package them in the exact format the agent can natively parse without friction.
It delivers structured context through open standards. It forces the agent to build based on explicit constraints rather than relying on its pre-trained biases.
Which brings up a massive ongoing debate highlighted in the special mentions of the source material. We've been talking about managing plain text files this whole time. But a huge segment of the industry is taking the exact opposite approach.
Oh, you mean MCP?
Yes.
No.
They're entirely focused on the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
Yeah, MCP represents the deep integration approach. It requires engineering teams to build complex, dedicated API servers just to give an AI agent access to internal systems or databases. It is really heavy infrastructure.
We have entire teams standing up massive endpoints just so an agent can query a database. But the sources argue that agents are getting exponentially better at reading standard files and reasoning about raw shell commands.
Complete.
Command line interfaces for well-known tools like Git, the GitHub CLI, or Docker are emerging as the cheaper, simpler alternative to building a full MCP server.
Because if the CLI tool is already well documented, the agent can simply reason about the command flags natively. It does not need a custom API wrapper to understand how to run a Git commit.
This forces a really hard architectural question for every engineering team right now. Are we moving toward a future where we build highly complex, dedicated API servers to handhold AI agents through every task? Or is the future actually much simpler?
I'd argue the simpler path is winning. Writing a highly structured, strictly linted markdown file, placing it in the root directory, and trusting the agent to run native CLI tools to figure the rest out.
It's the ultimate trade-off. Deep, expensive infrastructure integration versus zero-dependency, plain-text portability. As you evaluate how you are building software in 2026, look closely at your own agent workflows. Ask yourself if you are building massive infrastructure just to accommodate the AI, or if you should just be handing it the right markdown handbook and letting it do the work.